Danville, 64 in Decatur. At Willard Airport, we have 73 degrees. And on Friends Plaza in Urbana, 72.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Natural Gourmet. Natural Gourmet is a natural food store specializing in vitamin supplements, homeopathic remedies, and organic foods. Located at the Shops of Knollwood, their restaurant features Thai-influenced foods for eat-in or carry-out.
It's 12:40. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois' 52nd State Senate District includes portions of Champaign and Vermilion counties and the cities of Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, and portions of Danville. The two men vying for that district seat have vastly different opinions on issues of key interest to voters. One such issue is health care. Illinois Public Media's Craig Cohen reports.
Democratic Senator Mike Frericks and his challenger Republican John Bambinick agree on one thing about the Affordable Care Act. Neither thinks it's perfect. And yet, when pressed to explain what, if anything, he didn't like about President Obama's signature health care plan, Senator Frericks was a bit vague.
I think there's a large reliance on the insurance industry here. I think there's still a lot of profits built in for the insurance industry, but I think we've made some big progress here to help those who are most vulnerable.
And just like that, Senator Frericks rattles off a number of aspects of the Affordable Care Act he does like, from protections against losing coverage due to pre-existing conditions to the ability for those under 26 to remain on their parents' health insurance.
And, you know, making sure that people have access to a pool so that they can have health insurance is a good thing. Making sure that people pay into it so that there aren't people gaming the system.
Frericks ultimately takes a pragmatic approach when it comes to the Affordable Care Act.
Sometimes people let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And people say that there are problems with the Affordable Care Act and it should have been done differently. But that's what we could get past. And it's clear we've been fighting for a long time to make sure that people have access to health care.
Republican challenger John Bambinick, meanwhile, is glad more people have access. But he says the system is still out of whack, favoring insurers over individuals.
I would argue one of the fundamental problems of our health insurance system is that the consumer is not the customer of the health insurance policy. They make very little to no decisions.
Bambinick says it doesn't make sense to him that we have an employer-based health care system. He wants consumers to have more choices about their care, and he believes the Affordable Care Act's provisions for health care exchanges might give such choices to consumers.
The exchange helps create that. It's like, oh, I can pick my own health insurance company. That's good, as long as there's real choice. Businesses bind together 100, 200, however many employees. Why can't individuals do that?
Of course, precisely how Illinois' exchange will work has yet to be determined. Both Senator Frericks and Mr. Bambinick recognize that uncertainty and use the same phrase in separate conversations to demonstrate their wariness.
Well, you know, the devil's in the details.
The devil's in the details and how it's implemented.
Still, each candidate believes there's more he, as an elected official, could do to improve the health and wellness of the people of the 52nd District. Bambinick believes the poorest Illinoisans need to have options other than the emergency room for their day-to-day care.
The emergency room is the highest cost venue to treat somebody, and our health care policies between federal and state encourage those without access to health care to go there for treatment at the highest cost venue, and those costs are borne by somebody.
And Senator Frericks notes there are parallels between health care and environmental policy.
Coal-fired power plants that, you know, we're not sequestering or not scrubbing, putting off a lot of mercury into the air. You have other things that are putting carcinogenic things into our waters. And so I think we need to make some effort there. And that has a wide effect on public health in our area. I mean, and throughout the state that I think we can probably do a better job with.
From the health care exchange to alternate care options for the poor to environmental concerns, there's a lot about health care the next state senator may grapple with when the next legislative session begins. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.
There's more on this race and several others at our website, a special election page, will.illinois.edu/election. The race for the U.S. Senate in Indiana is one of the most hotly contested in the country. The outcome could have national implications on who controls Washington. That's why money continues to pour into the campaigns of Democrat Joe Donnelly and Republican Richard Murdoch. Yesterday, we heard from Murdoch, and now we'll hear from Donnelly. Illinois Public Radio's Michael Puente asked the Democratic congressman if he's surprised how close the race is this close to Election Day.
I was very hopeful that we would be in this position at this time. They know that I stand for just common sense, Hoosier common sense, and the fellow I'm running against is an extreme partisan. And so in Indiana, we're a lot more focused on getting the job done than on just shouting and yelling.
Your opponent is described as a so-called Tea Party favorite. Some say Mr. Murdoch is now trying to distance himself from the Tea Party and is presenting himself as someone who is more moderate. What's your thought on this?
Well, the only reason he's started to change what he says is because he's been behind in the polls. The real Richard Murdoch is who we saw early on, who said that his view of bipartisanship is Democrats doing what Republicans want them to do. And he said that for him, the highlight of politics is to inflict his opinion on other people. And, you know, in Indiana, we shake our heads when we hear things like that.
Now, Mr. Murdoch has criticized you for your support of the auto bailout and for the economic stimulus plan. 4 years later, do you feel those were the right moves to support those initiatives?
If you look, the assistance to the auto company saved well over 100,000 jobs in Indiana. And if Mr. Murdoch had his way on that, it would have plunged our state into a depression. I represent in Congress now the transmission plants for Chrysler in the Kokomo area. We went from over 5,000 people working there to less than 100 at the worst point of the troubles. And today we're over 5,000 again, heading for 6,000. And so Mr. Murdoch played politics with people's lives, and I work nonstop to help create jobs.
Now, Congressman Donnelly, you're pretty much in a statistical dead heat with Mr. Murdoch. Has it helped you, though, that Governor Daniels and Senator Richard Lugard are not campaigning for Mr. Murdoch?
Well, I think there's, you know, for instance, with Senator Lugard, there's certainly a reason, which is that Mr. Murdoch is the exact opposite of everything Senator Lugard has been during his career. Senator Lugar is a hero. You know, my guess would be that's why Mr. Lugar is not campaigning out here. And I respect Mr. Daniels and Governor Daniels, but he obviously, having been named future president of Purdue, had to step back from politics.
Now, Mr. Donnelly, President Obama isn't doing quite so well in Indiana. 4 years ago, Mr. Obama won Indiana. How voters come out in the presidential race, do you feel that would determine the outcome of your race and if you're successful?
No. You know, people in our state have a long history of ticket splitting and have a long history of independence. And so the results of the presidential race are not going to in any way determine what happens in the U.S. Senate race. Just 4 years ago, the president won our state in the presidential race, and Governor Daniels, the Republican governor, won by 16 points.
Now, Congressman, you've recently come out to confirm that you do intend to vote for President Obama in the general election. Was your vote for the Democratic president ever in doubt?
Well, you know, the president, when it was a very tough decision to make, stood with the auto workers that are the heart and soul of much of the southern part of the district that I represent. And so while it has not been perfect, our unemployment is down significantly, and I hope to see that move forward continue.
That was Joe Donnelly, the Democratic candidate for Indiana's U.S. Senate seat, speaking with Illinois Public Radio's Michael Puente.
Forget medical marijuana. This year, three states feature ballot measures asking voters if they want to legalize pot for recreational use.
This would free up precious police resources to go after real criminals, drunk drivers, etc., as opposed to wasting time on a green plant.
Changing marijuana laws, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features personalization of wedding accessories like cake knives, toasting glasses, and gifts for the wedding party. A complete online catalog can be found at trophytime.com. They're more than just trophies.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 24th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet Denise Levertov, Ilford, England, 1923. She wanted to become a poet, didn't want to go to graduate school, so she got her nurse's training, spent 3 years as a nurse during the Blitz in London. She liked the work, but didn't like the structure, the organization. She said, "I was always crawling in and out of windows to avoid curfews." She met and married an American poet, Mitchell Goodman. They moved to this country. She got in touch with William Carlos Williams, whose work she admired. They exchanged letters for a while. Then she took a bus up to meet him in Rutherford, New Jersey. He was a warm man, and after that, she went to visit him a couple of times a year. Denise Levertov published more than 20 books of poems. Denise Levertov, who said, "Strength of feeling, reverence for mystery, and clarity of intellect must be kept in balance with one another. Neither the passive nor the active must dominate. They must work in conjunction as in a marriage." She said, "I'm not very good at praying, but what I experience when I'm writing a poem is close to prayer." It's the birthday of the playwright Moss Hart, born in Manhattan in 1904 into utter poverty. But his Aunt Kate, who was as poor as the rest of them, liked to live beyond her means. And among her indulgences was the theater. She liked to take trips to see Broadway plays. And she took her nephew along, and he was dazzled by it. Took any theater odd job he could find. He wrote a comedy which was all right, a producer told him, but not great. And the producer suggested that he collaborate with the playwright George S. Kaufman. And when the play was produced, it was a big success in 1930, the play Once in a Lifetime. They went on to collaborate on You Can't Take It With You and The Man Who Came to Dinner. Moss Hart also wrote screenplays, including Gentleman's Agreement. And he directed plays. The most famous was the musical My Fair Lady in 1956. A rags-to-riches story that he told in his memoir, Act One. He died in 1961, Moss Hart, and his wife, Kitty Carlisle, refused to let his diary be published. She died in 2007, and the diary turned out to be full of nasty comments about people he knew, Dorothy Parker and Marlene Dietrich and Gene Kelly and Audrey Hepburn, whom he described as absolutely ruthless. Here's a poem for today by Lewis Jenkins, The Preacher. When times were hard, no work on the railroad, no work down on the farm, some of my ancestors took to preaching. It was not so much of what was said as the way in which it was said. The horn shall sound and the dog will bark. And though you be on the highest mountain or down in the deepest valley, when the darkness comes, then you will lie down, and as the day follows the night, you will surely rise again. The Lord our God